Every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, the word thanksgiving in the Revised Standard Bible appears 36 times, with three occurrences in the book of Leviticus, in the description of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which one may offer to the Lord. This kind of offering served as a way to satisfy God's justice before Him, God, and before all the parties involved, when an argument or a division would take place. After the victim was slain and its blood sprinkled on the altar, the priest would offer this victim to God. Then the peace offering was meant to be shared between the priest himself, who would take a little bit of it, shared with the offerer, who would bring parts of the sacrifice, now cooked and unbloody, back to his home to share with his family, and shared with God, who would receive the smoke of the burning remaining parts of the sacrifice, rising all the way up to heaven, as we continue to see in the liturgy with the incense burning at the altar. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High, says the psalmist. Peace offerings were offered either in a simple act of gratitude for favors received or for special deliverance in an hour of great peril, an hour of danger, a great need. Peace offerings were also offered as a repayment of a vow now fulfilled, as in the case of Hannah and her vow to bring Samuel back to the temple. So this tradition of peace offering continued to exist in various forms, such as ex votos that we have here, or either in the form of thank you plaques that you see very often in our European churches, the thank you plaques in the walls, on the walls of churches, or other forms of votive offering given in fulfillment of a vow, again as the ones displayed on the wall there by the altar of St. Joseph, where you have the Sacred Hearts and all these items blessed on the side. All those are ex voto in thanksgiving for graces received. So prayers of thanksgiving have never left the altar, were never separated from the notion of sacrifice. And as you may recall, thanksgiving is also, according to the definition of the Council of Trent, one of the four essential ends or purposes of the Mass, along with adoration, we adore, we worship God, with atonement, we ask for forgiveness for the sins committed, we make reparation, and supplication, we ask for what we need. And at least three times in the Mass, all we will give thanks in that famous, well-known expression or exclamation, Deo gratias. The word gratias itself, thanks or thanksgiving, is used at least seven times in the Mass. St. Timothy in his first letter wrote, "For everything created by God is good." And I think we need to meditate a little bit more on that. For everything created by God is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. If it is received with thanksgiving. So after this brief overview of the practice of thanksgiving in the Old Testament, in the Mass and in the liturgical life of the Church, what definition can we give of gratitude or thanksgiving? So gratitude can be defined as the repayment to our giver or benefactor because of a favor or a gift received out of his liberality, his generosity. And this repayment can take many different forms, such as a few kind words, a return of a favor, a return of a gift, or sincere acknowledgement, etc. So St. Thomas Aquinas establishes a distinction between justice itself and gratitude, although closely related, of course, since they both concern the repayment of a debt. In strict justice, I owe something to someone else. But it's different in gratitude, as we will see. In strict justice, that which is owed represents a legal obligation. It's binding. I have the obligation to give it back. As in the case of religion, whereby we pay God due worship. And I'd like to remind you that your Sunday obligation, attending Mass on Sunday, is not an act of charity or an act of love towards God. It is an act of justice. Strictly speaking, we owe Him our adoration, period. Or in the case of piety, whereby we worship, you understand here the meaning of the word worship, we honor our parents in the virtue of piety. And in the case of observance now, whereby we worship or honor people, excelling in dignity. But now, in the case of gratitude, that which is owed is not a legal obligation, but rather a debt owed simply because of the liberality, the generosity and kindness of another, of the giver, of the benefactor, giving them thanks for the favor, the gift received. And it's interesting that in the Greek version of the Bible, both expressions, to praise and to give thanks, use the same word in Greek, expressing a certain form of joy. We praise, we give praise. Certain form of joy adding to the repayment of that debt, not so much the idea of a legal burden that we'll have to accomplish in that agreement made between the donor and the receiver, but giving now, in the virtue of gratitude, giving it a unique dimension. Yes, it is with joyful heart that we give thanks to the benefactor for his generosity. So even though gratitude is not strictly comparable to the virtue of justice, it is still truly a virtue. And St. Luke warns us when he says, "He who receives more owes greater thanks." He who receives more owes greater thanks. Something to meditate on, especially here as we receive so many blessings, so many graces. Remember that 10 years ago, this church was almost closed with less than 50 people. He who receives more owes greater thanks, since what is owed corresponds to what is given. The philosopher Seneca, which St. Thomas quotes, emphasizes this point when he says, "Thanksgiving is less thankful when compelled." When you're bound to give back, of course, that thanksgiving is less thankful than when compelled. Thanksgiving or gratitude cannot be without that special quality of joy, often associated in the Old Testament with dancing and singing. Don't need to start dancing in the church. "I will praise the name of God with a song," Psalm 69. "I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise as our little ones hear. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise," Psalm 95. "And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy," Psalm 107. And elsewhere, finally, Psalm 147, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Cantate Domino Canticum Novum," as we just heard in the introit of today's Mass. "Make melody to our God upon the lyre." And the list, of course, could continue. So, my dear friends, how come then that so many good Catholics seem to have lost that supernatural joy? And I place myself among them and display too often sad faces, angry faces, dragging their souls in the filthy waters of pessimism, when sound to mystic realism and Salesian spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, Salesian optimism, give us the means to find countless reasons to give thanks and therein to rejoice. We all know the famous expression of St. Francis de Sales, one of our patron saints in the Institute of Christ the King. St. Francis de Sales says, to me he is the apostle of Christian joy. He says, which will be reused later by St. John Marie Vianney, a sad saint is a sorry saint. Unfortunately, the English does not render the French very well. In French, there is a play on words, or the reuse of the word triste, sad. Un saint triste est un triste saint. A sad saint is a sorry saint, someone you don't even pay attention to. Maybe it is because we have lost the capacity to get out of ourselves, to be less selfish, less self-centered, and to discover around us the many favors and gifts received. Every best gift, says St. James in today's epistle, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And so, my dear friends, as we continue the beautification of our beacon of hope here in the heart of Detroit, Tower of Light, let's also become beacons of light. Beacons of light wherever God places us, whether at home, at work, at church. Live joyfully. Live joyfully, would often repeat St. Francis de Sales in these directions and letters. Live joyfully, always in God and for His love. It is particularly dangerous to let the noise of the world around us take away our peace, because the fruit of peace in our hearts, in our soul, is joy, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. I'd like to remind you that the definition of peace is tranquility of order. So when everything is where it should be, that brings a certain peace to the soul, and the fruit of that peace is joy. Apply that to your spiritual and moral life. If things are where they should be, my obligations, responsibilities towards God, things are in the proper order, in my moral life as well, then I have that peace. On the contrary, if I lose that peace, maybe if I'm too anxious, too worried, maybe it's because things are not where they should be in my life. There's a little bit of disorder in the soul. So in bringing back that order, I can find peace. And the fruit of peace is joy. And so again, it is also in the practice of gratitude and thanksgiving that one can regain a joy he might have lost because of his disappointment and frustration with a world going always more adrift and because of a life of sin. Gratitude for the gift of life when you wake up in the morning. Gratitude for the gift of the sacraments. Gratitude for the gift of faith. Gratitude also for the trials and sufferings He wishes us to endure. Because each sacrifice, each little cross, is a step closer and closer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, ardent furnace of love, source of all consolation. So please, please, my dear parents, grandparents, and I'm sure great-grandparents, please teach your children to be grateful and to give thanks for everything they receive, whether roses or crosses. Otherwise, you might give to society tomorrow more disillusioned, more disenchanted, more frustrated souls, incapable of finding joy in their vocation to know, to love, and to serve God. Scruple, excessive introspection, fear of the future, fear of the unknown, or even precipitation in what we do, rushing through things, all this prevents that calm possession of oneself, that peace. All those things should have no room in the heart of the one who loves God and trusts that He is a good Father and wishes only one thing for His creatures, eternal beatitude with Him in heaven. Otherwise, my dear friends, otherwise one might encounter very quickly the spirit of constraint, the spirit of melancholy, sadness, as so many obstacles to spiritual freedom and peace. In her way of perfection, Saint Teresa of Avila explains that even when the soul has that firm determination not to offend God, it may still fall from time to time, for we are weak and cannot trust ourselves. And the more determined we are not to offend God, the more determined we are, the less self-confidence we should have. For confidence must come from God. But when we find ourselves in this state, we need not feel constrained or depressed, for the Lord will help us, and the habits we have formed will be of assistance to us, so that we shall not offend Him, and we shall be able to walk in holy freedom. So who better than our Blessed Mother could illustrate our remarks here today? Her Magnificat says it all, and you know how much I love the Magnificat. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Who more than Mary here had to undergo the sufferings she had to go through? No one. And yet, what is her response? My soul does magnify the Lord. So May being dedicated to Mary, maybe we could take advantage of this holy month to learn better how to pick those countless flowers of joy that God plants along the path of our lives. Yes, roses have thorns, but who is foolish enough to ignore the beautiful flower, the infinite source of grace standing right in front of him? Who would be foolish enough to ignore that simply because he's afraid of the few tiny thorns in which that beautiful treasure is enclosed? This finding is worth any effort and sacrifice. So up to us now to understand its value and to appreciate its beauty. Every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.